Thank you all for coming out tonight. And thank you for tuning in if you're watching online. My name's Wade. If you're watching and you hadn't tuned in before, I'm glad you're here. And welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. Let me go ahead and pray and we'll get into it. Father, I just thank you again for the opportunity to get up here and share your word, to share what you put on my heart this week. I'm just very grateful for that, Lord. I'm thankful for this message. I know I needed it, and I believe all of us do. And I just pray that you'll bless this message, Lord, and I pray that nothing will come from me, that everything is said is from you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive it, and not to just hear it, Lord, but to put it into practice. And Lord, I just pray for all the people right now that are going through hard times. I know we just got through losing a loved one in our family, and I know there's other families that have lost loved ones in the last couple of weeks. I just pray that you'd comfort them, Lord, and help them to feel your presence. And Lord, we just give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, if you was here last week, we talked about unity and how the only way that we can really be united is to be united in the Spirit. You know, we're all different people with different dispositions. You know, we might have the same interest in some things, but, you know, like the same sports team or something like that, but we're all different. So the only way that we could ever become truly united is in the Spirit. And we talked about the only way that we could do that is if we have the same Spirit. And the only way we can have the same Spirit is if we have, if you know, the same Spirit which comes from God. And, you know, they've got that out of the verses in Ephesians 4, you know, 4 through 6. It says there's only one God, one Holy Spirit, one faith, one baptism. And we talked about how if your faith was in God alone, and I believe in God, but my faith is in something else, then that would be my God. So we have to have the same God and the same Spirit and the same faith to be united in the Spirit. This week, I want to talk about something that I think a lot of us have a hard time seeing sometimes, and depending on how our circumstances are going, sometimes I think we even have a hard time believing it. You know, like I just said, a lot of us have lost loved ones in the last couple of weeks, and you know, there's a lot of people going through a lot of hard things that they're struggling with right now. So this week I want to talk about the goodness of God. You know, when we're struggling, sometimes it's hard to see the goodness of God, and he's always good even when we are struggling. You know, when things are going great, everybody's always like, hey, God is so good, you know, praise God. But when life gets tough, you know, when it seems like everything's coming at you from all directions, you know, that can get overwhelming sometimes. And it's times like that, we either can't see the goodness of God, or sometimes we don't even believe in the goodness of God. Especially with today's pace. You know, today's pace is hard to keep up with. Seems like everything is just going full speed all the time. Everything, you know, it don't matter if it's work or school or hospitals, grocery stores, you know, Walmart. It don't really matter where you go or what you're doing. Everybody is in a hurry everywhere you go. Even if you're going on vacation, you know, if you get on the interstate to go somewhere, if you're not doing 90 miles an hour, you're going to get ran over. And then when you do get wherever you're going, you'll find out that everybody's in a hurry there too. And not only is everything fast-paced and everybody's in a hurry, it seems like when we do have problems, they don't come just one at a time anymore. It seems like when you have one problem, then it just goes into the domino effect. We'll get problem on top of problem on top of problem on top of problem. Like we said a minute ago, you get somebody in your family who'll get sick, or you'll lose a loved one, and then your car will break down, or then you'll have some kind of financial problem, or the AC will go out at your house or something like that. But it just seems like it comes in bunches anymore. We don't just have one problem at a time. And when life hits you like that, and you just get overwhelmed to the point that you just want to throw your hands up and scream, and I know we all have moments like that because we all have problems. It's in those moments like that that most of the time we're really not focused on the goodness of God. It's in moments like that that our minds get full of anxiety about everything else that's going on around us, and we don't know which way to turn, and we don't know what to do next. I know for me, when I find myself in situations like that, I've got to just stop for a second. I got to find a quiet spot just for a minute and focus on God. One of the verses that helps me do that is one of my favorite verses is in Psalm 46 in verse 10. This really helps me when I feel overwhelmed. I'll just stop and, you know, I got this verse memorized. I'll just stop and say that to myself. You know, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, just in the short amount of time, it stops to, you know, it takes to stop and say that. You know, I find a lot of peace in that. I know none of us, I don't think, have the time that we would like to have, but we can all take just a moment and breathe, you know, just be still for a minute and know that He is God, and know that He is good. He's God and He is with you. He is God and He will not leave you. He won't forsake you. And, you know, when I do that, when I slow down for just that minute and say that to myself, you know, be still and know that I am God, that reminds me that, you know, God is not in a hurry. When we're going through problems and struggles, we try to rush around. Like I said, everybody's in a rat race and we're moving so fast. But we got to remember that God is not in a hurry. We need to remind ourselves that, you know, God's still on His throne. He's still in charge. You know, He's not puzzled by whatever we're going through. He's not freaking out. He's not scared. He's not overwhelmed. And He's not surprised. You know, nothing surprises God. He sees it coming before it gets there. So no matter what is going on, God is still calm, and He's still in charge of the situation, no matter what it looks like. And the reason it's so hard for us when we're going through, you know, a frustrating or overwhelming time in our lives to see the goodness of God is because most of the time, we've taken the time that we think we need to deal with all this stuff and the focus it takes to deal with all this stuff from the easiest place there is to take it from. We take our time away from God because that's the easiest thing for us to change. You know, we won't give up our work. We won't give up other things. But when we're going through something, you know, almost never fails when somebody calls me at their wit's end and they're being overwhelmed with something. Most times they started missing church because they needed the time. They say they need time to deal with things that are going on. They say, I just need some time to deal with this. Or, you know, if they're involved with one of our small groups or something, they don't have time for small groups anymore because they have too much going on. You know, I'm working on this right now. I'm not going to be able to make it. And, you know, it's not that God's goodness has changed. His goodness never changes. But when things go wrong, we don't need time. We don't need more time. We need God is what we need. And instead of taking time away from God, we should be running to God. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. So when we're going through a hard time, we shouldn't be running away from God and avoiding Him. We should be running to Him. That's where it's safe. You know, over and over again, I see it happen, and it's happened in my life. I've done this. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. You know, God's goodness will be the thing that helped us through one mess that we're in. And when that's over and everything's going good again, we think, okay, you know, now I'm good. I can handle it from here. And then we just start the whole thing all over again. We start making those same little compromises that we made before that got us into the mess that we were in last time. You know, we get comfortable when everything's going good, and we stop seeking God like we do when we desperately need Him, when things are falling apart. When things are good, you know, we don't seem to see our need for God the way that we should. We should see our need for Him even when things are going good, not just when things fall apart. You know, that's exactly what happened to King David when he made the biggest mistake of his life. You know, he got comfortable. I want to share one verse with you out of that. I'm not going to go into the whole story. Everybody knows the whole story of David and Bathsheba. He wound up, you know, committing adultery and murder and everything else simply because he got his focus off of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." So David didn't go. He didn't go where he was supposed to be. You know, he should have been at war. He should have had his armor on with the rest of God's warriors. And, you know, that cost him a mistake that he paid for the rest of his life. And so did his family. You know, I tell you all the time, the decisions that we make, they don't just affect us. They affect everybody in our lives. And his family, if you'll read on through the rest of that story, went through all kinds of stuff. So David should have kept his armor on, and he should have been with the army that he was supposed to be with. And that's what we have to do. You know, we have to keep our armor on, even when things are going well. And we need to be around God's people, the people that we know we should be around. Like I said, God's goodness is always there, and it never changes, and it never goes anywhere. We drift away from it. You know, almost every week we go back to these verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And I know I hit them almost every week, but that should be a daily thing. You know, it sounds really simple, but that's the reason I use them over and over and over, because they truly do work if you use them. They say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not under your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." So we do have to acknowledge God in everything we do. We have to include God in everything we do. And when problems come up, then God is right there with us. We don't start freaking out. You know, He's right there with us to help us with them. And we don't feel alienated from God when something happens and you start thinking, you know, "Where are you, God? Where did you go?" You know, if we practice these things, we'll always have that closeness with God. And when we do acknowledge Him in all we do, He really does direct our paths. And we read this verse all the time too, because it's so practical. It's something you should use every day. In Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, "To seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Like I said a minute ago, we get overwhelmed with our problems, or, you know, too busy, too hurried, whatever it might be. And we're not seeking God anymore. We're focused on our problems, and we wind up trying to take care of things ourselves. And most of the time, when we find ourselves to the point where things just keep piling up and they are out of control, you know, you can look back and ask yourself, you know, was I really seeking God first in this, or did I get sidetracked? You know, was I focused too much on something else? You know, it's super easy to do. usually when I find myself in that, you know, predicament, I'll go back and look and ask myself that, you know, was I seeking God first in this? And most of the time, if I'm honest with myself, I can pinpoint exactly where, you know, my focus went from trusting God to my problem and how I could, what I needed to be doing to fix it. So it's real easy to get our focus off of God and onto our problems. You know, that's where that slow fade comes in. We stop doing our devotions in the morning or in the evening, you know, however you do them. We're not in God's Word like we're supposed to be. We stop reading the Bible like we should. If it's all we're doing is focusing on our problems, we stop making Jesus the center of our home life like he should be. And then, you know, we start avoiding the people that we need to be around. You know, God places a church family around us for a reason. You know, he tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together so that we can lift one another up and encourage one another. That's what he says, find ways to encourage one another and to help each other when we're going through problems. But when we get focused on our problems, then we start avoiding the people that we need to be around. And, you know, that's about all it takes. When we start doing that, then our problems just get worse. I read this verse a lot, too, because it's so true. You know, it's just applicable in our life, especially in today's life. In Matthew 13, verse 22, it's out of the parable of the sower. You know, we hit this one almost every week, too. It says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. You know, that's not even talking about sin there. Jesus is just saying when we get overwhelmed, when we get too many irons in the fire, or, you know, too many things coming at us at once, we get our focus on him, and we put all our, you know, focus on the cares of this world, and it chokes the word, and we become unfruitful. So we get too busy with God, or for God. We get so busy with everyday things that we just don't have time left for God. And when we get to that point, a lot of times we'll stop trusting God as our provider, and we put our faith in our job. You know, we'll start working doubles or whatever they throw at us, and that takes even more time away from the time we should have set apart for God. And not only God, it takes time away that we should be spending with our family. You know, Satan knows if he can get us separated from God and get us separated from our families, then we're already defeated. You know, we're not at home, we're not at church, we're not around anywhere that we get the encouragement that we need and the help that we need. We spend all our time in places that we don't get encouragement and we don't get the good advice and stuff that we need. That's the main reason I wanted to talk about the goodness of God this week. We get so overwhelmed that we forget that God loves us. God loves you. You know, if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, I hope you hear that. God does love you. You know, he sent his son to die for you. He loves you so much. And he didn't ask us to straighten up to do it. You know, it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Satan wants to get us to the place where we not only can't see the goodness of God, you'll start seeing yourself as worthless, and you'll start believing that. You'll start believing that you're worthless. You know, that's why I want you to remember that no matter how bad things are, God loves you. Satan wants you to think, he wants you to doubt that God loves you. He wants you to doubt the goodness of God. He wants to make you believe that you're worthless and nobody loves you. And you'll start believing that. You'll start believing that you are worthless. And you'll start believing that God and everybody else in your life sees you that way too. And that's completely false. You know, you got people in your life that love you dearly. And God loves you more than anything. He made you. He knows everything there is to know about you. You know, there's nobody else on earth like you. God made you unique. He made all of us unique. And when we start listening to the lies of the enemy and get focused on all our problems, we don't feel unique. We don't feel loved. We do start feeling worthless, and we start feeling like failures. You know, I listened to a message last night after I got home, and the preacher on there, he said, even if you have a twin, you know, if you have an identical twin, you're still unique. You still have your own personality. You still have your own fingerprints. You know, nobody else on earth has the same fingerprints as you. And nobody that's ever lived before you has your fingerprints. And nobody that will live after you has your fingerprints. So we're all unique. You know, there's nobody else like you. God made, He made every single one of us unique. So remember that God loves you, especially when times are bad. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, God calls us, in the King James says, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. In the NLT, He says we're His masterpiece. It says, for we are God's masterpiece, and He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. So God not only made you unique, He calls each and every one of us His masterpiece. And like it said in the King James, says we're His workmanship. That means, you know, when He wanted to make me, He didn't just speak it. He didn't just say, you know, let there be Wade. He actually took the time and formed me. And He formed you too in our mother's wombs Himself. You know, that's what it says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And in the King James, in the same verse, it says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God didn't just speak us into existence like He did a lot of the other things. He formed us. You know, don't ever doubt God's love for you. He loves you. And He took the time to form you in your mother's womb, made you unique just the way you are. Satan wants to get us so focused on our problems that we forget that God is good and God loves us. So when we are going through a really hard time, that's when we need to believe in the goodness of God more than ever. But God is always good. It says in Psalm 119 and verse 68 that God is good and does good. That's what David says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. So God's not only good, He does good. And He only has plans for us that are good. You know, it says in Jeremiah, He has plans for our future, not to harm us, but to do us good. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about even when God chastens us. Some of y'all remember that sermon we did on the chastening of the Lord. But He did it for our good because He loves us so much, He wants us to be partakers of His holiness or His goodness. God is never against you. He is always for you. And He's always available if we'll just go to Him. You know, like I said a while ago, when we start getting overwhelmed, we try to avoid God and we try to avoid His people. I don't know why we do that, but we do. But He's always available if we go to Him. Back in Psalm 46 again, in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. You know, like we read in Proverbs a minute ago, it says the name of the Lord is our refuge. When, you know, the godly run into Him and are safe. And it says here, he's our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of need. So God is never against you. He's always for you. He's always on your side. You know, sometimes we're just not on his side. And I told you before about, you know, before I came to Christ, when my life was falling apart and I was crying out to God, I was asking him, you know, why are you not on my side? And he said, I am on your side. You're not on my side. And it's hard for us to see when we're in the middle of trouble that God's right there. We're the ones that are not on his side. We're not seeking him like we should. We're not acknowledging him the way that we should. And I think a lot of times when we lose our focus, we do start doubting the goodness of God, or we wouldn't avoid him the way that we do. When we get to that point where we have drifted away and we've got that distance between us and God, the reason that things seem so overwhelming, and the reason we get frustrated so easy, and the reason we get angry and, you know, upset so easily at things or at people, or start seeing ourselves as failures, is because everything we need to face those things is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, we've been talking the last few weeks about when we do drift away from God, then the Holy Spirit starts fading away in our lives, and we need that, especially if we're going through some really hard times. When we get our eyes off of God and we get our focus off of God and just focus on our problems, God's goodness does not change. We just rob ourselves of the things that we need to face those things. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, that's the where the fruits of the Spirit are listed, or the fruit of the Spirit. It's just one singular. They all come from the same place. But those are the very things that we need, you know, when we're going through problems. We need patience. We need long-suffering. We need self-control. We need peace. And, you know, we won't find peace in a storm without the Holy Spirit. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, all those things. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Peace and joy. And when we're going through a hard time, we need all that stuff. So we need to, instead of running away from God and taking time to work on our problems, we need to use that time to do like his word says. Make sure we get to church. That's where we need to be. Make sure we get to small groups so we can talk with somebody and get those things out and get the help we need. Because the Holy Spirit provides everything we need when we're going through a crisis. And we try to fight it in our own strength. And we don't have it. You know, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says God is love. So that's who we need to be running to when we're going through a hard time. That's the biggest weapon the enemy has, is to get us separated from those things, the things that'll help us and make you believe that they're against you, that God's against you, that the people in your life are against you, the people that love you. And we'll start believing that they see us, like I said a while ago, the way that we see ourselves. If you see yourself as a failure, we'll begin to think that's how God sees us, and that's how we'll start to believe that everybody else sees us too. And that's just not true. You know, we call them loved ones for a reason. You know, the people in our lives, they really do love us. And, you know, we call them friends for a reason. We call them friends because they love us too. We can't alienate people. You know, we'll start treating, if we start believing those things about ourselves, believing that we're worthless and believing that we're a failure, and we think that's the way everybody else sees us too, then we'll start treating people the way that we think that they see us, when they don't see us that way at all. We need to include people in our struggles. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. So there's strength in family, there's strength in friendship. If we'll just be willing to share our struggles with somebody else, you know, we can't bottle it up. We've got to get it out, and we have to talk about it. You know, the reason that we get blinded to the goodness of God and the goodness to the people around us is we bottle that stuff up. And you've heard that old saying, you know, if you hold things in long enough, you're either going to take it out on yourself or you're going to take it out on somebody else. And that's when we wind up saying and doing things that we wish we wouldn't have had. We have to trust the goodness of God and trust that God is there to help us. We need to trust the people that God's placed in our lives, that they're there to help us too. In Galatians chapter 6, that's what it's talking about in verse 2. It says we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's all through the New Testament. We're supposed to be there for one another. We're supposed to help one another and bear one another's burdens. And, you know, if we're at that point where we're all stressed out and overwhelmed and stuff, we can't start blaming other people for our problems either, or God, when we do feel abandoned. You know, if we're the ones that walked away from them and we're the ones avoiding them and we're the ones avoiding God, we can't start blaming people if we feel abandoned and alone in our trouble, if we haven't shared them with anybody. You know, we just got through reading in Psalm 46:1 that God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. So when we have trouble, we need to go to God. It's good to know these verses. You know, when you're having trouble, you're going to remember that one. God is a very present help in trouble. You know, if you need comfort, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, God is the God of all comfort. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So not only does God comfort us, he equips us to help somebody else. You know, that goes right back to the verses we just read. We take the comfort that God gives us through the Holy Spirit, and we help other people with the same comfort that God comforts us with. That's the goodness of God, is he don't just comfort us, he equips us to comfort each other too. And if you need peace in the middle of a trial, you know, Jesus says in John 14 and verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So all these things that we need that we just listed off in the fruits of the Spirit, you know, they're there for us. If we just include God in our problems, like it said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will be there for you. I love this verse, too. You know, I'm trying to get you to see that all these verses work together to help you through your problems, and they all involve the fruit of the Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, God's saying he's giving us everything we need for life and godliness. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So he's saying, you know, if we just stay in the word like we're supposed to be when we're going through hard times, you know, we don't need to not do our devotion because we're so overwhelmed with stuff. That's when we need to do it the most. We need these verses in our lives because there's power in them. You know, we just read, if we need help in trouble, that's Psalm 46:1. If we need comfort, That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. If we need peace, John 14. That's why he's saying, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. God's already given us all this stuff. We just need to go to it instead of running away from it when we're going through a hard time. So if you are going through a hard time and you do feel overwhelmed, or you just feel distant from God, and we have to do like we said back at the beginning of this, you know, Psalm 46:10, you know, just be still and know that I'm God. Just take a minute and breathe and realize that God has not went anywhere. He is right there with you. I told y'all before that one of my favorite verses was Hebrews 13:5, and it says in there that he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it don't matter what you're going through, God is right there with you. He will not leave you to go through it by yourself. So when you're going through a hard time, and I do this too, because I find myself overwhelmed a lot, and I have to do this. I have to take an honest look at my situation, and I have to ask myself, you know, whether or not I've been doing like it said back in Proverbs. Am I acknowledging God in everything I do? Or have I been trying to control it myself? You know, have I been doing like it said back in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33? Am I seeking God first in everything and trusting him to take care of everything else? Or have you done like we said earlier and neglected your time with God so you can take care of things yourself? I don't know what makes us think we can do that. You know, I've proved to myself over and over and over that I can't do it. Like I said, God's goodness never changes. It's always there. We just have to make sure he's our source. You know, we can't be our own source for strength. We can't be our own source for peace or comfort or any of those things that we just talked about. Those come from God, and we have to seek them from God. But in order to do that, we have to stay connected to the vine, like we talked about a couple of months ago. Some of y'all might remember that sermon. You know, Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And, you know, if we pull ourselves loose from the vine and start trying to take care of things ourselves, we just dry up like twigs. And in John 15:5, that's the verse where Jesus says, without him, we can do nothing. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we got to quit trying to fight our battles all by ourselves. We need God's help. We need the fruit of the Spirit to be able to handle those things. You know, that's where our peace and our strength and all the things that we need come from. And I want to share these two things too. You know, God never changes. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So when you are having a hard time and you start feeling like that maybe God's goodness has changed towards you, you know, you can remember that verse and you can know that it hasn't. And you know that you've drifted away from him, because God will never drift away from you. We just got through reading in the other verse that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we have to remember where our help comes from too. And Psalm 121 is a good verse for that. Verses 1 and 2 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from where comes my help. It says, my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So when you do feel weak or helpless or overwhelmed or depressed or whatever it is, you feel like God has left you, remember, he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And that is where our help comes from. So so we can run to him and not away from him and get what you need through the Holy Spirit. Another verse I want to share with you is Jesus knows, or a couple of verses, Jesus knows just how we feel. You know, we go through a lot of things and we feel like nobody knows how we feel. We covered this a couple of weeks ago too. Jesus knows exactly how you feel. That's what makes his goodness so good. You know, a lot of people will pat you on the back and tell you, I know how you feel, I know how you feel. And you're thinking, no, you don't. But Jesus really does. In Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he knows exactly how you feel. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's all through the Bible. That's all God wants to do, is help us. I don't know what makes us want to doubt his goodness, to doubt him at all. I don't know why we do that, but we do. And the reason the rehabs are full, the reason the jails are full, the reason so many people are creating even worse situations for themselves is we don't come to the throne of grace to get the help in time of need. You know, we'll go looking for it somewhere else or in somebody else or something else. And we need to bring it to God. You know, his goodness really is always there. We just have to stay close to him. And he really does love you, no matter what the enemy is telling you. And don't tune out the people in your life. You know, like I said a minute ago, share your struggle with them and let them help you. The enemy will tell you to keep your problems to yourself. You know, he'll tell you don't tell people what you're going through. They'll look down on you or they'll make fun of you. Or he'll give you a whole list of reasons why you shouldn't share your struggles and you shouldn't share with somebody else what you're going through. But you need to share your struggles with them and let them help you. Secrets are never a good thing in any relationship. You know, especially if you're married and you're keeping something from your husband or your wife or something like that. If you find out that they're keeping something from you, you know, that hurts your feelings. And that causes to where you don't trust each other anymore. It drives a wedge between people in any relationship. It makes you feel like you didn't trust me enough to tell me that. So it's never a good idea in any relationship to have secrets, no matter what they are, because they always, sooner or later, become a wedge that'll drive you apart. You know, that's how relationships are ruined, keeping things from each other. So we got to be open and be honest about everything that we're going through. And, you know, I know I was, and I think you will be too, be amazed at the help and the support you get. I mean, there will be people that are the bad people, but you'll be amazed at how many of the good people are in your life that are willing to just bend over backwards to help you. And people can't help you if you don't tell them. If they don't know, they just don't know. We can't assume that people know what we're going through. You know, God, he don't never tell us to keep secrets. He knows they'll eventually hurt us, and they'll eventually wind up hurting other people in our lives too. So never keep secrets from a relationship. Be honest and be open with your struggles, and you will get some help. You'll get the help that you need. And don't doubt God's goodness or his love for you. You know, if you're having a hard time seeing God's goodness, take a good look at the situation and figure out why. You know, am I not doing something that I need to do? Am I drifting away from God? And ask God to show you, and he will. You know, if you can't figure out why you feel that way, ask God to show you. It says in the book of James to ask him for wisdom if you need it, and he'll give it to you. The last thing I want to talk about that goes along with this is if somebody has done something to hurt you, or if you've been hurt at church before. You know, we talked about this last night. You can't blame God for what people do to you. A lot of people, when somebody does them wrong, even though they call themselves a Christian, that you can't put that blame on God. People are human. We have bad days. I'm going to let you down sometimes. I'm going to say things that are going to hurt you, and you're going to say things that are going to hurt me. I'm probably going to do things that make you mad, and you're probably going to do things that make me bad. We're just humans. We do have bad days. We're going to hurt each other. But that's not God's character. That's our character. That's human character. God never changes. We just read that in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, if somebody has hurt your feelings, we can't take that out on God and start, not believing his goodness. His goodness is always there. His goodness never changes. From beginning to the end, the Bible says that God loves you. And his goodness goes on forever. It never changes. It never ends. So never doubt God's goodness or his love for you. He is all the time 100% on your side. 100% of the time. Just sometimes we drift away and we get blinded to that. But we just have to stand on the truth of God's word when we are in those hard times. That's when we need to be in his word the most. That's where his promises are. That's where we get the tools that we need to fight through those hard times. And, I know when I go to people to talk to them, they always comfort me with God's word, with scripture, with, this is the truth. This is only temporary. It's going to get better. So that's what we use to lift one another up. So we can't doubt God's goodness. When things are bad, God is still good. And I know everybody right now is dealing with something bad. I just wanted to remind all of us, to remind myself, no matter what's going on, it don't matter how bad it is, God is still good. And these things are just temporary, and they will go away. Jesus is our hope. It says in Hebrews that he's an anchor for our soul. Steadfast and sure, he will never let us down. So, hard times are going to come, but they're a whole lot easier when you have the peace of God with you. When we pull away from God and try to go through those things ourselves, that's when we just get further and further and further, in depression or anger or whatever it leads us into. We'll just keep getting deeper in it until we bring it to God. So I hope that helps somebody this week. I don't think I'm the only one that's going through stuff. And some days you're like, really, God? You're supposed to be good to me? He is good to us. I think about it all the time about just living here. If we have a home at all, we are blessed more than most people in the world. There's people that never have a home, never have a bed. We are very blessed in this country. And even as fast-paced and hard as things are right now, we are still very blessed. And I think, we need to thank God every day for our blessings and realize that His goodness is real and his love is real. And I think not only do we need to believe it, we need to share it with each other. If we're constantly lifting each other up, it makes it a whole lot easier to get through a hard day if you got somebody to encourage you. We got a lot of people that live by themselves, sit at home by themselves. They don't have anybody at home to encourage them. Those are the kind of people we need to reach out to and tell them, God loves them too. I gripe about social media all the time, and you know, electronic things, because I don't understand them. I'm not good with electronics. But I thank God for them all the time, too, because there's a lot of people that get to watch sermons and hear God's word, and they wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for, you know, modern-day technology. I don't like a lot of the modern-day stuff, but God's still God, and like we said a while ago, you know, he's still on his throne, and he's not puzzled by any of it. So we just need to love one another and love God and not doubt his goodness, not doubt his love for us. But that's all I've got this week. I hope that inspires somebody, and I hope it, if you are having doubts, I hope that gets rid of them for you, and I hope it leads you back into a closer relationship with God. But let me go ahead and pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you all again for coming out, and thank you for tuning in. Father, I just thank you that you helped me to get up here and share your word. I just pray that it does lift somebody up, Lord, and remind them that you love us no matter what's going on. And I pray that you help us to be able to see your goodness, Lord. And I pray that you help us to share that goodness with one another, Lord, and lift one another up. Help us to help each other through the hard times, Lord, and know that we have friends that we can count on, and be that friend that can be counted on. And I just pray that you help us, Lord, when we see each other suffering, to reach out and be the brother or sister that you called us to be. Help us to be the good Samaritans that we're supposed to be. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to do like your word says, to let our light shine, that people will see our good works and glorify you. Lord, I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.